Well, after that song, you should be joyful by now, right? What an upbeat, fun, joyful song that was to sing as we see our children being dismissed. And we're so thankful that you and I can have the joy of the Lord. And so that's our focus, that's our theme this morning. We have already looked, as we have been referencing through this Christmas season, of the themes of hope, the theme of peace. And now we focus on the theme of the joy that followers of Jesus Christ can have. I invite you to turn with me to our passage this morning. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, specifically verses 46 through 56 will be our text this morning as we focus once again on the theme of joy. But before we get into our passage this morning, let me give you a little background of what is taken place in Luke chapter 1 leading up to our text this morning. So in Luke chapter 1, we have an appearance, two appearances actually, that the angel made. And one was to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. And he is sharing with Zacharias that his wife, who was barren, Elizabeth, was barren and was of old age, but the angel is sharing with Zacharias that his wife, who was elderly at this point, who was barren throughout her life, was going to have a son. Of course, that's referencing John the Baptist. Well, at first, Zacharias is a little skeptical. He's a little doubtful. And so that is his response. But soon after in that passage, we also have an appearance of the angel that's appearing to Mary. And then we see how she responds and how she receives the message that she was going to have a son and a baby boy, of course, who would be Jesus. A completely different response. And so what we see in this passage and in this text that we are going to go through this morning is we are going to see her joyful response, her joyful reaction to the Lord. And what would have been a very difficult and challenging time for a young lady who came from a poor background, who did not have many resources of her day and time, who would have been ridiculed and scoffed by her community at the time, for she was without a husband, yet she was pregnant. All of these things take place. But instead of responding this way, notice, Mary's going to respond with joy and giving glory to God. And so once again, we look at our passage, which is Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. It is references Mary's song of joy. Also, it is often referenced as the Magnificat. So this is Mary's response of joy to her great God, and as she sings a song of worship to Him. Once again, Luke chapter 1, we pick up in verse 46, which it goes on to say this, "And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her," referring to Elizabeth, "about 3 months, and returned to her house." Let us pray. Father, we come before You this morning, and we're so thankful that we can experience the joy of the Lord. In fact, in Your Word, in other passages, You have demonstrated that indeed for the follower of Christ is a fruit of the Spirit. And so we can live in the light of joy. And now, O Lord, as we take a look at this passage in which Mary expressed joy and her worship to you. We pray, O Father, that we will look at this song that she sung so many years ago, and that maybe it'll just be a song of our heart as well, as we follow the example that was set for us in this wonderful passage. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I believe that Mary gives us a great example of what it looks like to worship the Lord and express joy in her life. I want to look at three takeaways that we can get from this passage as we look once again at the theme of joy. Notice, first of all, that Mary sets an example that joy comes from our focus on God. As we referenced just moments ago, if she focused on her circumstances and her situations, it would not have been a joyful thing. Once again, she has come from a poor background. Once again, she comes from a community that would have scoffed at her and ridiculed her for her current situation. But notice, instead of looking at her circumstance, instead of looking at her situation that she is currently in, she experiences joy because she focuses on the Lord. And I believe that this is a great example for us to follow. Many a times we can look at the circumstances and the situations of life, and if we fix our eyes on that, as we focus on that, we can quite frankly be discouraged and feel a sense of despair at times. Just moments ago in our Sunday school class, we were talking about how many times as we look at the news of our time through social media or news reports, that quite frankly, it's very discouraging, isn't it? But when we take a step back and we focus on the Lord and our relationship with the Lord, it simply is good news to us. It's good news to the world. Joy to the world because of the message the Lord has come. And that's what Mary is experiencing in this moment, as she understands that the Lord had a purpose, the Lord had a plan, and she was blessed because of God's plan for her life. And so if we focus on current circumstances and situations, it's very easy to be stressed, if you will. But when we focus on God and a relationship with God, we can go from being stressed to being blessed. And this is what Mary does. Notice she magnifies the Lord. She rejoices in the Lord. Another passage references and emphasizes the importance of this for the follower of Jesus Christ, for the believer. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it goes on to say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." When we choose to focus on the Lord with praise and exaltation, it does not matter, once again, the circumstance, the situation, the trial, the tribulation, the temptation that we are facing. When we focus on Him, and that is the key, I believe that we'll experience joy. And so that's what we need to do. As followers of Jesus, we need to focus on the Lord. So joy comes from focusing on God. A second takeaway that we get from this passage, if you will, is that joy can also be experienced as we experience the favor of God. See, Mary is very aware of the fact that she has received the favor of Almighty God. In verses 48 through 49 of that passage, of that text that we have just looked at, we see that Mary realizes that from a human perspective, she comes from a lowly state. From a human standpoint, she comes from a difficult situation. But from a spiritual standpoint, she was blessed. God had done, as she sings and praises God about, had done great things for her. And all the generations would call her blessed, as she references. And so it is that we, as followers of Christ, in our relationship with Christ, have experienced also the favor of God. Think about it for just a moment. We were once lost, but now we are found. We were once spiritually blind, but now we can see. We were once spiritually dead to the things of the Lord, but now we have been made spiritually alive to the things of the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ. We were once spiritual orphans, but now, through Christ and faith in Jesus Christ, we have been adopted into the family of God. And so we are blessed, and we have the favor of Almighty God. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you can focus on the favor that we have in Him and a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we can have joy because, once again, we have the favor of God. Do we have that perspective? Do we have that mindset in life that we have the favor of Almighty God? Do we see ourselves in the light of our relationship with God from a spiritual standpoint, not from a physical perspective? So we need to focus on God and the favor that we have in God. This will produce joy. And then a third takeaway we get is her experience as she focuses on the faithfulness of God. She focuses on His character. Notice that as we think about verses 49 through 54 of our passage, that we see that Mary saw the faithful character of God. She focuses on God being holy and being merciful and being strong. And as she focuses on all of those characteristics or attributes of Almighty God, her heart is filled with joy. Her heart is filled with worship to the Lord. Once again, the holiness of God and a proper perspective of that is so very important. I think of Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, we see the prophet Isaiah. And when we see that he gets a glimpse of the holiness of God in the throne of God, it absolutely changes his perspective. And so it is that Mary also references the holiness of God. She is reminded that because he is holy, he is to be worshipped. And so it is, as believers in Christ, we are called to receive a proper perspective and to have a proper perspective of the holiness of God. He is separate from everything. He is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And so as we see this perspective of His holiness, we're also reminded that He is calling the followers of Jesus Christ to holiness as well. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 through 16 reminds us of that. He goes on to say, "But as He who has called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" When we have the perspective of who God is, as we depend on His strength and His mighty Spirit, we can also demonstrate that in our lives as well. He has called us to be holy, not to be sinful, not to be wrapped up in the affairs of this world, rather, but to be holy. How do you and I need to demonstrate a holy lifestyle in our lives? Be holy, for He is holy. So Mary is looking at the attributes, the characteristics of God. She's seeing His holiness. She's seeing then His mercy, as we're reminded of. In verse 50, Mary points to the mercy of God. And aren't you thankful for the mercy of Almighty God today? Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 5, reference the importance of the kindness and the mercy and the grace that God demonstrates toward us. In Titus 3, chapter 3, verses 4 through 5, it goes on to say this, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we are not worthy of His mercy. Apart from God, we are sinful. But He, in His loving kindness, is mercy. And so He extends His mercy to us. He extends His grace to us because of His loving kindness for us. He offers this to us and we receive it through salvation as we receive by faith Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Through His mercy and through His grace, He saves us. He also, notice, that He regenerates us as well. And so He gives us a new heart. He makes us a new heart. He cleans our heart and makes us a new creation. He begins the process of sanctification. And so He, because of His mercy, provides salvation. He, because of His mercy, provides regeneration. He, because of His mercy, gives us sanctification. He sets us apart from the world. And He does a work within us to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ through His mighty power and through His Holy Spirit. And so we cry to the Lord as Mary cried to the Lord. We give Him thanks. We give Him praise for His mercy. As 1 Chronicles 16 through 34 reminds us, it goes on to say, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever." So thankful that because of the mercy of Almighty God, He will save one soul. Because of the mercy of Almighty God, He will sustain one soul. Because of the mercy of Almighty God, He invites you to experience heaven and eternity with you and with Him. Because once again, of the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. Mary took this to heart. We ought to take this to heart as well. A focus on God's holiness. A focus on God's mercy. And then a focus on God's strength. I'm so thankful that God indeed is strong and He is sovereign over all. And Mary gets a picture of this, and she's honoring and worshiping and glorifying the Lord because of the strength that she sees and that God demonstrates. In verse 51 through 54 of our passage, once again, we see that there is a great emphasis on the recognition of power and strength of Almighty God. Once again, He is sovereign over all, and He has a habit of humbling the proud. And He gives grace and exalts the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He will exalt you in due time, according to 1 Peter 5 through 5 verses 5 through 6. He resists the proud, right? But gives grace to the humble. So we are called to live humble lives under the mighty hand of God, and allow Him to exalt us in His timing. We don't have to elevate ourselves. We don't have to exalt ourselves. But we elevate the name of Jesus. We exalt His name on high. And however He chooses to use us, however He chooses to reward us, we are thankful for however He chooses to work in and through our life. And so it is that we're reminded because of His strength that He is strong enough to help us in whatever we're going through in every area of our life. Mary is going to go through some months in which she is going to need the strength of the Lord to sustain her in her life. And the years that are going to follow as she raises with Joseph, the very Son of God, you can imagine that she's going to need the strength and the provision and the wisdom of Almighty God as they raise, literally, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so as she's reminded of the strength of Almighty God, so it is that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are reminded that He gives us strength. He will carry us through. I love what Psalm 46 verse 1 reminds us of. It goes on to say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. I don't know what you're going through today, but if you are going through a time of trouble, I point you to the Lord. Let Him be your strength. Let Him be your refuge. He indeed is a very present help in time of trouble. He was to Mary, and He will be so for you as well. Certainly, God provides joy. As a banner, as I was just looking at it, remind us, joy to the world, for the Lord is come, a Savior is born, and we are called to worship Christ the King. We can be joyful people as we focus on God. We can be joyful people as we think of the favor of God upon our lives. We can be joyful people as our focus is on His faithful character. And so it is that you can be full of joy in your life as well as you abide in Him. As you walk in the Spirit, He will give you the fruit of the Spirit, which includes joy. So maybe you're here today, and you as a follower of Jesus Christ want to experience and want to celebrate and want to live in a joyful state day by day. Once again, I simply encourage you to focus on the Lord and your relationship with the Lord and all that that means for you and for me on a daily basis. But maybe you're here today and you're saying, I've been struggling with experiencing that joy for some time. May I simply say that one of the reasons that Christians do not get to experience that joy from time to time is they have allowed sin to creep into their life and to affect their fellowship and walk with the Lord. See, sometimes if you meet a miserable Christian, the Christian is miserable because they are living a lifestyle of sin. But that's not God's desire. That's not His plan. He desires you to abide in Him and to be full of joy. And so if you're not experiencing that and you have gone into a lifestyle of sin, I want to encourage you that the Lord wants to welcome you back into His fellowship. And as David recited, I believe, Psalm chapter 51, when he had fallen out of that sweet fellowship, and when he was not experiencing the joy that he had once had with his Lord, and that sweet fellowship that he had had for much of his life, he goes on to cry to the Lord, and he goes on to say, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And so far, if Jesus Christ, it might be a matter of simply doing business with the Lord, asking God to forgive you of walking away from His fellowship and living for yourself and indulging and engaging in sin and going to Him and asking for His forgiveness to restore that joy of salvation. As the Lord says, that if we confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe it's a matter of confession. Maybe it's a matter of seeking the Lord and saying, oh Lord, You are holy. Help me with Your mighty strength to live a holy life. Maybe it's a matter of going to the Lord and focusing on Him rather than your circumstances, your situations, getting your eyes off the things that are happening in the world today, but getting your eyes and focus on the favor that is found in a relationship with Almighty God. And as you go to Him and worship, you can sing a song of praise as Mary sung so many years ago. Follower of Christ, what is our response as we desire to experience the joy of the Lord, which He desires for us to experience? He wants us to have. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Follow Jesus Christ, what is our response to that invitation to walking with Him, to fellowshipping with Him, to living in the spirit of joy? moment when I have a time of invitation. It will be an opportunity in which you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, can respond to the invitation and the knock of God's heart, knock on our heart, if you will, from the Lord as followers of Jesus Christ. But maybe you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We want to introduce you to the one that is Savior, who came to give joy to the world. You can experience that joy and that salvation that we have talked about this morning. You see, salvation comes as a free gift. And so it is that God desires to receive the free gift of salvation. You might be here today and you're asking, how do you receive the free gift of salvation? The Bible says, for as many as received Him, referring to Jesus, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. And so you receive Jesus Christ by faith, repenting of your sins and receiving Jesus Christ by faith, believing that He died for your sins and my sins, believing that He was buried, believing that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And as you receive that by faith, confessing it with your mouth, believing in your heart that God has indeed done that, you will be saved. For out of the heart one believeth, and out of the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Won't you receive the gift of salvation if you haven't done so before? Worship team, as they are making their way forward and as we prepare for our time of invitation in just a moment, may we go to the Lord in prayer and ask for Him to bless this time. Lord, we do come before You. We are so thankful that You came to the earth to bring joy to the world. And so we're thankful, Father, for that. We praise You for that. We worship You for that. And now, O Lord, as followers of Jesus Christ, we pray, O Lord, that we respond to You in such a way that we can experience the fullness of the joy that You desire for us to experience in our relationship, in our abiding, in our walking with You. We do pray. Then, O Lord, as we come to this point of invitation, we are reminded that each and every person needs to receive the free gift of salvation. And so if there is one here that has not received the gift of salvation or is listening to this message this morning, we pray, O Father, that they receive it by faith and believing in Jesus and receiving Him by faith and inviting Him into their heart and their life to save. And with this we do pray. May our responses bring honor and glory to You. We do pray during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.